next on the 5 o'clock report.
Someone they loved is no longer with them.
She was a force, and I felt compelled to come here today.
To see it so flippantly utilized for political purposes is just dangerous.
You're watching people come together from different churches.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. To Kentucky, where a grand jury is handing up charges against a former police detective involved in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor.
On or about March 13th, 2020, in Jefferson County, Kentucky, the above-named defendant, Brett Hankison, committed the offense of wanton endangerment in the first degree.
No charges have been brought against the other officers. The 26-year-old woman was shot and killed after officers came to her home on a no-knock warrant. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron.
Every day, this family wakes up to the realization that someone they loved is no longer with them. There's nothing I can offer today to take away the grief and heartache this family is experiencing.
The officer said they opened fire after Taylor's boyfriend shot one of them in the leg. The late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is lying in repose at the High Court through tomorrow.
She was a force, and I think her legacy is going to be one that inspires all the generations that follow her. So I felt compelled to come here today.
On Friday, she'll become the first woman to ever lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. Chief Justice John Roberts.
She won famous victories that helped move our nation closer to equal justice under law, to the extent that women are now a majority in law schools, not simply a handful.
This Saturday at 5 p.m., President Trump is expected to announce his pick to fill the void vacated by RBG on the High Court. Meanwhile, the U.S. House has helped avoid a government shutdown.
Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the rules are suspended, the bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Democrats and Republicans struck a deal on aid to farmers and nutrition assistance to children as part of the package that keeps the government operating until December 11th. Promising news today on a COVID-19 vaccine. Correspondent Anthony Mason has more.
Johnson & Johnson is now the fourth to enter phase three of a coronavirus vaccine trial. It's enrolling 60,000 people, and unlike other trials in phase three, this potential vaccine would be a single dose.
And President Trump announcing new sanctions on Cuba today.
The Treasury Department will prohibit U.S. travelers from staying at properties owned by the Cuban government. We're also further restricting the importation of Cuban alcohol.
Restrictions also on tobacco imported from Cuba. Trump calls the measure a fight against communist oppression. Still to come this Wednesday, Standing for Life in New York, fighting the High Court's ruling in Pennsylvania, and seeking the Lord on behalf of the nation.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All remains quiet on the weather scene and should stay that way for a few more days. A weak disturbance could produce a brief shower later on Thursday, but it won't be till Sunday that any substantial showers come our way. Rainfall will need. The call for the overnight hours, and right through from the evening hours through the overnight, is fair skies, clear to partly cloudy. Low temperatures in the 50s. For tomorrow, it's a mix of clouds and sunshine with an isolated shower. Most areas are dry. High in the 70s to near 80. And Friday is mostly sunny and warm with high temperatures from the middle 70s to the lower 80s.
Thank you, Kevin. A pro-life event is happening in Ithaca, New York, outside that city's only abortion clinic. Russ Nitschman with the 40 Days for Life campaign.
They're doing it all around the country at the same time, and it is not a protest, as some people may see it. It is a prayer time.
Nitschman says over 100 abortion clinics nationwide have been shut down in the 16-year history of 40 Days for Life. The prayer event at Planned Parenthood facilities ends on November 1st. In PA, Republicans file suit to try and overturn a mail-in voting decision by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. In a 5-2 decision last week, the court ruled it's okay to count ballots for 3 days after the election.
The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania feels like they can do the legislators' work, and they're outside the Constitution right now.
State Senator Doug Mastriano says it's the job of the state legislature, not the courts, to set the parameters of the election.
Just straight to the Constitution, and the court can interpret the law. They can't create law, and they're not above the law. And obviously, Governor Wolf has trouble understanding this as well.
Mastriano confident that the GOP lawsuit will be successful at the Third Circuit or at the U.S. Supreme Court. Meanwhile, Congressman Tom Reed of New York is speaking out against Governor Cuomo for suggesting National Guard troops be used at polling places on Election Day.
What's next? We're going to shut down the polls come November 3rd because he's going to issue an order saying that we can't vote on Election Day because some type of emergency, because he's afraid of people doing that.
Reed wonders why the governor didn't deploy the National Guard when rioters and looters ransacked cities.
To see it so flippantly utilized for political purposes is just dangerous.
Governor Cuomo has also proposed using state and federal election workers to replace local volunteers at polling places on Election Day. The 2020 Pittsburgh Columbus Day Parade is canceled due to safety concerns associated with the COVID-19 pandemic. Parade Chairman Tony Ferraro says, while the parade has a rich history, including community support and involvement, it's in everyone's best interest to cancel the event and focus on plans for next year's celebration. Next at 5, we hear from Dr. David Kinnaman with the Barna Group about the changes to church amid the pandemic.
We've had more digital church in the last 6 months than probably all of human history combined. At the same time, I think it also has accelerated some of the things that were already in place. Mm-hmm. So people's connection to local churches were becoming less and less deep. They come fewer and fewer weekends per year. Millennials and Gen Z, the younger generations, are kind of renegotiating their relationship to church organizations. And so I think there's a lot of things that really accelerated about changes that were already taking place. How do you trust others? How do you think about the political environment? How do you think about connecting in with peers through social media? I mean, all those things have been in place prior to the pandemic, mm-hmm. and I think that just accelerated those kinds of trends.
A church might be able to do something digitally, but is that feeding enough? Is it really increasing the congregants' maturity? And what about people who like might have just started attending church because they have spiritual questions? Are they connecting in too? Do you have a way of knowing?
I think on some level we've actually seen that there's a real increase in online participation across a wide spectrum of people, non-Christians, skeptics, others. And so I think there's a way in which this is forcing the church to really grapple with the fact that to disciple people at all, we can't just disciple them when they're there in their buildings. We have to disciple them in all of their lives. Mm-hmm. And so the answer to the question of can people's faith be growing and will this, you know, cause the church to have deeper metrics, deeper ways of thinking about discipleship, my answer is I hope so, because mm-hmm. I think this gives the church a chance to sort of rethink its approach. I mean, being in person is wonderful, and it's an important part that will never be dissociated from the Christian life mm-hmm. other than in a pandemic. And yet, it's like we also have to have a wide range of ways of influencing people, especially in the digital space.
So supposing that we all get back to the opportunity to be together, you're saying this is a growth area that was necessary? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I think we try to do dial-up ministry, if you can remember back to the early days of the Internet.
Yes.
We try to do dial-up ministry in a Wi-Fi world, and so young people are finding all sorts of information. I mean, it's just astounding how many hours of content that young people are taking in through YouTube, social media, other sort of forms of media, music and video games and television shows and movies, and but especially YouTube. And we've seen in our research a lot of young people who are sort of captivated by the compelling nature of YouTube channels on religion, and yet there's not always great biblical content or people that have the kind of love of scripture that would captivate young people. So I think it's a change that's very necessary, because Google has become something like the sex educator and the, the best friend and confidant and sort of your theological coach, because you can Google anything. And so recognizing that we're going to have to be able to effectively talk about the Christian worldview, why it matters, why it's trustworthy, that's just not going to be accomplished merely through a really good youth program on Wednesday nights. It's got to be something that's a more inclusive, sort of moving from dial-up to Wi-Fi ministry.
Mm-hmm. So actually meeting people where they're at, and this has kind of accelerated that for the church, or it should be accelerating that for the church.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So I guess leading off from that, it sounds like you are encouraged by something. So what encourages you about the future of the Christian church in America? And then what are some of the flashing lights and warning signs too?
Well, I think first I am very hopeful. My kind of life mission is to help the church navigate change. So I actually get kind of excited when things are up in the air.
Shaking up?
when sort of the status quo. And there's sort of people who will often wag their finger at me and say, well, you know, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. And it's like, well, that's really true as a sort of a proverb, but mm-hmm. it's also true that God's up to new things, and Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, and, you know, do you perceive it? The things that are flashing lights are the degree to which we try to go back to something like a normal after the pandemic, where we try to just sort of restart our churches in the same way they've always been doing them. Lots of great stuff that happens. It's not a critique,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, what does this pandemic mean for us to do in a different way?
That's Barna Group's Dr. David Kinnaman speaking with Family Life's Martha Manikas Foster. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features at fln.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks faced heavy selling pressure today as technology stocks again were hit hard. The Dow was down 524 points, the Nasdaq fell 330, and the S&P 500 dropped 78. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Hi, this is a Money Wise Minute with teacher Rob West.
Like it or not, you need to know your credit score. Your friends at FICO already have one for you, and most likely it will impact your job, what you can buy, and where you live. Here are some things that will lower your score. Missed bill payments this month could take up to 125 points off your credit score. Credit cards maxed out, up to 70 points off. Doing a balance transfer, expect a 15-point drop. Applying for new credit, your credit score will temporarily drop around 10 points. And a short sale, foreclosure, or a bankruptcy will do substantial damage, at least for a while. So check your score at least twice a year for free at creditkarma.com. That's creditkarma with a K.com.
And we can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you visit us online at moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
Up next, Drive Home Sports with
Thank you, Tracy. Let's start in the NBA. The Eastern Conference Finals resume at Disney World Sports Complex. The Celtics attempting to even their series with the Miami Heat in Game 4, trailing 2-1. On the ice, the Lightning and Stars continue the Stanley Cup Final in Edmonton, Game 3 of a series that's tied at a game apiece. Major League Baseball, the Rays take another shot at clinching their first American League East title since 2010 when they wrap up a 3-game series with the Mets in New York. The defending American League champion Astros, meanwhile, can secure a playoff spot with a win over the Mariners, and if the Angels lose to the Padres in San Diego. American League Central, White Sox will attempt to hold on to their shrinking lead over Minnesota when they visit the Indians and face Cy Young Award frontrunner Shane Bieber. Ouch. Toronto Blue Jays at home in Buffalo taking on the Yankees, their playoff hopes still alive. Phillies have lost 4 in a row, but their playoff hopes are also still alive. They're just 1 game back as they take on the Washington Nationals. Buccos finishing out the season, taking on Chicago. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delviet.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All remains quiet on the weather scene and should stay that way for a few more days. A weak disturbance could produce a brief shower later on Thursday, but it won't be till Sunday that any substantial showers come our way. Rainfall we'll need. The call for the overnight hours, and right through from the evening hours through the overnight, is fair skies, clear to partly cloudy. Low temperatures in the 50s. For tomorrow, it's a mix of clouds and sunshine with an isolated shower. Most areas are dry. High in the 70s to near 80. And Friday is mostly sunny and warm with high temperatures from the middle 70s to the lower 80s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, Mission Syracuse will host Faith and Family Night on Saturday.
It's a parking lot drive-in event at the Shopping Town Mall parking lot. There will be a large stage, dignitary speaking, pastors, different ethnicities, different denominations, whopping great music.
Joe Bolignone tells Family Life about the prayer event.
We didn't have a state fair this year, so there will be a family entertainment atmosphere, but it's also being held in conjunction with The Return, which is a national event Jonathan Kahn's putting out. There's one in Washington, other cities.
He adds,
and it's a beautiful thing to see because you're watching people come together from different churches, and you know how sweet that can be.
That's the world we live in this 23rd of September. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.